So there was trust, there was respect, and there's accountability. That's table stakes for any relationship.
You better know other service agency partners who fill the gaps that you have.
Buy this very powerful piece of technology. We're the insurance plan that's going to ensure that they are successful with it.
Welcome to Make Them Famous, the podcast about partner enablement.
The only podcast to uncover both how partner teams enable their partners
and how other department leaders enable their partner teams to achieve success.
Welcome back to Make Them Famous, the podcast where we try on each episode to bring you intelligent, insightful conversation about real world partnerships, partnerships between two individuals that did something hopefully unique, hopefully successful, and we unpack what they did together, what it changed in the world, the worlds that they live in, as well as how it formed their career. In this podcast, I get to bring, not back, I interviewed him in 2018 for another podcast I used to run. His name is David Lewis. He is the founder of Exited Demand Gen, a B2B account-based marketing and demand generation agency that was number one Eloqua partner, number one Marketo partner, a top partner for mid-market and enterprise B2B SaaS. Joining him is someone else you may know, Jill Rally. Jill is now working with Reveal, one of the sponsors of the show, but Jill comes from top salesperson at Eloqua, where she met Dave, and they have a storied relationship that takes them from Eloqua into Marketo and beyond. And what they've learned in going to market with partnerships and dealing with sales teams and internal service revenue packages that cannibalize the partnerships and multiple go-to-markets in big ecosystems like Eloqua and Marketo is so important for CEOs especially, but partner teams and other agencies. How these partnerships developed both of these two individuals is truly remarkable and formed two very, very successful careers. So we're going to unpack everything that they went through, how they actually formulated this go-to-market, what the playbook was, how they implemented different things, how they dealt with the internal sales conflicts, and what their advice is for partnership teams, CEOs who are in similar scenarios. And it turned out to be an awesome episode that I hope you agree is going to be one of the favorites for our listeners. Before we dive into that episode, please hang on for the sponsor reads. These two companies help you find and manage partnerships and partnerships go to market. And then we'll get into the episode. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors. Reveal has been a sponsor of this podcast since the very beginning. They've been wonderful. Reveal is your nearbound companion. Reveal allows you to not only map accounts, but get direct insight into sales motions, what's going on with your partners, who is dealing with what customers at what time. Nearbound, you may have heard of, you may have been to the conference, you may have met with companies inside of Reveal. It is the idea that you are going to work together to get into accounts, to get bigger deals, to get stickier users, to get stickier clients, and grow faster together. That is the concept of Nearbound. Other terms for it, you may have heard co-selling, ecosystem-led, partner-led, account mapping is the essence of it. Who do I have that you also have? Who do we not have that the other person has and the other company has? And who knows who at what organizations to help us get closer to those companies. That is the essence of Nearbound. That is what we will use Nearbound to achieve. Top companies like you see here in the directory are all using Reveal to get closer and closer to the deals in play and to get more out of their partnerships. That is Reveal. Go to reveal.co and check it out. There is a free account so you can sign up today. Our next sponsor is partnerhub.app. It is the platform where you can find, align, and manage the partnerships that you are working closely with, those third-party B2B organizations who inside the organization are you doing what with right now? Who would you like to partner with? And what would you like to do with those entities? That is what Partner Hub is all about. The main differentiator between Partner Hub and your typical PRMs is that Partner Hub is built first and foremost as a marketplace and as a tool for solutions providers so that they can take the reins, so that they can control and operate their own partnerships with third-party entities like their tech partners, like other agencies. And when the agencies, when the solutions providers are in the driving seat of the partnership, you'll find that activation, enablement, all of those great keywords, all of those great OKRs that your program needs to succeed will all be lifted. So again, Partner Hub is a great place if you're looking for agencies in Shopify, Salesforce, HubSpot ecosystems. Top agencies like the number one HubSpot agency on the planet, Avidly, are in Partner Hub. Top Shopify agencies like The Stable are in Partner Hub. These are the great users that Partner Hub is thankful and proud to have. And the benefit that these users are getting out of Partner Hub is, again, making sure that they know exactly what partners that they are doing what with right now. There are tools like a syndication process for live offers to recruit more partners, directory products so you can showcase your partners on a subdomain of your choice and draw leads for your partners, actively bring your partners business using a gorgeous mobile-friendly partner directory, and tons of partner management features as well. Everything you need in one place, that is what Partner Hub is all about. Run your program effectively. All right, that is all, and we'll see you guys in the episode. All right, welcome to the show. We've got David Lewis on deck first to do the introductions, then we'll go over to Jill, and then we'll dive into the good parts of this conversation.
Thanks for having me on the program, Alex. Excited to be here, excited to be reunited with my partner and still partner, Jill. I've been a serial marketer and an entrepreneur my entire career. I was part of the U.S. sales and marketing division at Microsoft for the launch of Windows and the first Windows product. So that's dating myself a little bit. But I think it was that background where I started. We were talking a little bit before the program started about the word channel. And back then, you could not buy software on the web. You could not buy software directly from a company. You had to go through the channel. You had to go through a partner. And that was back then multiple tiers, all the way from like Ingram Micro to Computerland and such. So I got an early start on how to bring technology to market by doing that. And then along came the web in the 90s. And that became such an important channel. But later on in my career, when I started to become more of an entrepreneur and go to market in 1999, I was actually the inventor of what we're doing right now, voice over the internet. And created a product called Roger Wilco with a bunch of guys, so that I guess I'm the self-proclaimed Alexander Graham Bell. And that was the first time that I said, okay, if I'm going to bring this piece of software to market, who should I partner with? And I went to companies like Activision, Electronic Arts, and Microsoft, and got our software bundled with their games and then eventually integrated. And it was amazing to see how in a year we catapulted that business, and it became religion to me at that point. So fast forward into 2003, I was running marketing at Ellie Mae and bringing a new software application to market, one that had no market share. And I discovered Eloqua, and Eloqua is a marketing automation system. I knew that we would need this platform for our go-to-market. And that's how I met Jill. She was my sales rep and explained the value proposition of Eloqua to me and showed me, you know, really what has become my future in terms of marketing technology. So for 3 years, I spent using and adopting Eloqua, Salesforce, and a bunch of other technology. And then as I really knocked it out of the park for Ellie Mae, I thought, God, there should be, I don't know if it's an agency or a firm, but some new business that should take the power of Eloqua and help people to understand that and use that. So I had a conversation with Jill and I said, hey, listen, I want to start a business that helps people use and adopt Eloqua. What do you think of that? And Jill was all in, and I'm sure we'll talk about what we did together, because I credit Jill with the growth and success of the business and being not just a channel partner, but in many ways, I consider Jill a business partner, because she helped me with my strategy and helped with the go-to-market. And I'm excited today to really detail the playbook that Jill and I used. I think if you're an entrepreneur and you're looking to build a business from scratch, which I've done now several times, you know, how do you select a partner and how do you go to market with partners and cover that? And if you are a partner person and you're trying to figure out, how do I get my foot in the door at an agency, or should I bring an agency partner in to go to market together? We're going to get those questions answered for you. So thanks for having me.
Oh, that's a perfect intro. A whole lot there that we're definitely going to get into. The history that you guys had, Eloqua as the cornerstone, and you becoming a power partner, which is what, which is a term we use when it's an agency that doubles down on one technology as their core business. And if I came to you and wanted you to implement and service Eloqua's direct competitor at that stage, you probably would have said, no, if you get on Eloqua, I'll service you. That's called a power partner is what we call that. But anyways, you mentioned Jill, and Jill's on, and I don't want to take any time from Jill's intro. So Jill, piggyback off of that, but give us the starting, I guess, with Eloqua, what your career was, what you did then, and what you're doing now.
Yeah. So I just say life didn't exist before SaaS, software as a service. I actually joined Salesforce in 2000. So was one of the first 100 employees at Salesforce. And Eloqua was one of my customers at Salesforce because my territory was Canada. And Eloqua was headquartered in Toronto. And so very tiny company, but really compelling software. Compelling software that was looking at marketing as a way to drive sales. I mean, literally back in 2001, Eloqua was really focused on, one, the marketer, but how do you actually elevate the marketer to live in the digital age, to go from you know, a lead to converting to qualified sales pipeline. So incredible that the vision was that so early. I joined Eloqua as employee number 13, and there was no category. This is in 2002. Demand gen wasn't a function. Marketing ops absolutely didn't exist as a term or a function. And we had very powerful software that we were selling to marketers who didn't have the skill set, the expertise, the data to actually be able to leverage the power of the software. Fast forward to 2004, Dave became an Eloqua customer. And I remember like kind of qualifying him out early because they weren't using Salesforce. They were using like an on-prem CRM called Pivotal that I called Pitiful. And we did not integrate. We weren't going to integrate with Pivotal because it wasn't, you know, increasing in market share and it wasn't the future. And so really qualified Dave out until he could go in and make the business case to move from Pivotal to Salesforce. And very successful, as he said, and he came to me, and this was about 2007. And it was still very, very early days in marketing automation. And Dave was like, I think I'm going to start an agency really to serve the Eloqua market. And I'm like, hell yeah, like we need it, because the software doesn't solve the problem. It is really best practices, expertise, guidance, even like hands on the keyboard for customers. So I think, Dave, it might be interesting to talk about at some point, like where Eloqua was in its services business. And why you filled a particular gap that, you know, Eloqua wasn't filling enough in the market. But just quickly fast forward to 10 years at Eloqua, acquired by Oracle, went around the world evangelizing social selling, right? How to transform the way that you sell to instead serve the customer by doing research in social networks, by being to be relevant, to build relationships, really to like listen and learn and engage where your buyers were, to teach where they were learning, and all of that was moving to social networks. And had the opportunity to join Marketo in the C-suite, having never been anything other than an individual quota carrying sales rep and evangelist for change and transformation. And my role was to bring the customer into our exec meetings the customer's point of view, the voice of the customer, the voice of the community, the voice of the market, the voice of the ecosystem. And now I'm actually squarely in the partnership community, really working to help elevate the partner professional and the profession, similar to the transformation that we drove in marketing and less or so in sales. But really looking at how do we elevate the partnership profession and professional to the way that we transformed, again, marketing. So excited to be part of like creating a new category. We call it Nearbound. I am working with Reveal, the company, the B2B SaaS company that is creating the category, to help from a strategy lens of how do we grow the B2B SaaS company. And working with some of Reveal's most important strategic customers and partners, which HubSpot is the one today, the most strategic and important customer is HubSpot. We make them successful, we make their partners successful, everybody wins. So I'm sure I left a bunch out.
No, that was great. That was great. Yeah, you mentioned the playbook. I do want to get into that, what your playbook was, how big it got and what it became. Obviously, Demand Gen, the agency, super successful exit. Obviously, we all know Eloqua. Hopefully, maybe not, depending on the age of the audience here. Eloqua is getting to that point where probably certain people don't know Eloqua, which to me is, yeah. And
history, really, baby.
But Eloqua's success had a lot to do with, you know, Demand Gen and Demand Gen's example that they set for other agencies that you can build a business on top of this platform, which is what the shining example Salesforce and HubSpot and these larger ecosystem platforms are. They build on top of these power partners, and the more power partners that you have as an ecosystem, the more successful and solid and, you know, foundational and all those great adjectives that your company can be. So, David, let's talk about that real quick. So you go back to the days where you decide to launch an agency. Clarify for us, you met Jill because you were an Eloqua customer. She sold you Eloqua. You're implementing Eloqua. You're realizing there's a lot of opportunity there. And then you tried to find an agency and you couldn't find one? Or how did that snowball
into? Yeah, good story. As I was saying, yeah, Jill was the first person to introduce the platform to me. And it's a funny story in that Jill was having her first child right at the time coming up to when I was signing the agreement. So Jill and I didn't actually get to execute that contract together. And I think that's an interesting part in our element of our history together, because that's the only thing we didn't accomplish together. We accomplished so much. I said earlier, I was a serial marketer and a serial entrepreneur, having done now a couple different startups. I think it's important for the entrepreneurs listening, you know, why did I start this business? And I got to tell you, as someone who's now my age and has been an entrepreneur, I could start a business every single day. Like, I understand the recipe for it. And it was really quite simple. It's also the same recipe that if you were going to build a YouTube channel in 2024, what you might create from a content perspective. I was at a conference, the mortgage industry conference, and Tony Robbins was the keynote speaker. And he said something, it's a longer story, but I'll just give the important point, which is he said, for any of you who want to be an entrepreneur, write down on a piece of paper, if there is a service or product that you know, or something you know really, really well how to do, and if somebody would pay you, likely, or value that knowledge or expertise that you had. And I wrote how to use marketing automation, which at that time, it was Eloqua, because there was no Marketo, there was no HubSpot, there were no, Eloqua was the first, as Jill said, you know, SaaS-based marketing automation system being purchased by enterprise and mid-market customers. So I wrote that down on the piece of paper. And mind you, I'm CMO, head of marketing at Ellie Mae, but I'm writing down this entrepreneurial instinct that if I wanted to start a business, that's what it will be. Went home, thought about it. And the short story is in June 7th of 2007, I left Ellie Mae to start the very first Eloqua agency. And as Jill mentioned earlier, at that time, Eloqua was doing all their own professional services. And I was a little bit of a unicorn. I mean, I'm a self-complained tech geek. I have a lot of technology around me all the time. The Iron Man theme is Tony Stark is you know, a little bit of a animated idol for me and Iron Man. So I love tech. And I couldn't find, you know, when I signed the contract with Eloqua, I didn't know that they would have a professional services team reach out to me to implement the technology. So I just went online and started reading their implementation guide. And this is like December 26th. And by January 4th, we launched our first email campaign. And so when they reached out to me after the beginning of the year and said, it's time to talk about your implementation, I said, oh, it went great. We launched our first email the other day. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, we set everything up. We tested the IP addresses. We just had this campaign to get going. And they said, no one's ever done that. And I said, really? I go, what do people do? And they said, oh, we have a whole implementation service. So I got to know Eloqua, the CEO and the team very, very well as one of their kind of poster child clients who was having tremendous success with it. But that is when I realized, Alex, that there is no outside agency to help people with it. And when I went to implement Salesforce, because I bought it, brought it in very guerrilla, I met a company back then. It was called Echo Lane, and they were a Salesforce implementation partner. They charge us like $15,000 to implement it. So I saw like, oh, you could have a services company and charge someone to implement a SaaS technology. And there's, I don't even know how many SaaS applications today, which is why I said, if I wanted to start a business tomorrow, I would just find a thriving, growing platform where the vendor's professional services is probably not what ultimately a client needs and start an agency. And we've seen that for HubSpot, Marketo, and many other SaaS applications, Workday, you name it. So the recipe in terms of being an entrepreneur to start a services-based business, I know that. But what was unique was my go-to-market partner, which was Jill. And, you know, we'll, I really want to dive into what we did because, again, when I quit my job, turned in the resignation letter, and the CEO asked me, he said, so what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go actually start an agency that implements Eloqua. And he goes, oh, that makes such great sense because you've had such great success with it here. And he goes, where are you going to get your customers? And he asked me that question. And I'm like, yeah, I know where. He doesn't know Jill, but I know where. And then I go, yeah, I've got, you know, a strategy for doing that. He goes, man, you're the worst salesperson I've ever heard because shouldn't we be a customer? And I'm like, yeah. And they're actually still a customer of to this day, which is wild, even though I've sold the business and it's been acquired. So I picked up the phone and called Jill and I said, Jill, it's time for us to hit the road together. And fortunately, back at that time, Jill wasn't on the East Coast. She was on the West Coast. She lived a few miles from me, but we would get together almost like cops that would meet at a coffee shop and get in the car together and go there. She didn't have a sales engineer, which maybe you can talk about. So part of the playbook is I added value to Jill's sales cycle, being so proficient with Eloqua. As a sales rep, when she wanted to demo the platform to people, I could come in and represent two things. One, a successful CMO that's used and implement the platform and can talk ad nauseum on the power of it and how to launch it and bring your team on board with it and do great things beyond batch and blast email marketing, scoring, nurturing, lead management, all those things. And then I could also actually demo the product. And we built this really crazy, I built this little website called iTimer, which was a fictional time travel software company. And I would demo Eloqua and using that. And we would just try, you know, different plays in terms of the demo format, what Jill would talk about the platform, what I would show, if a prospect asked a question, who would answer it. So we were literally a team that brought our expertise in different ways, but we really fine-tuned how we approached all of these sales calls. And one of the things I loved about Jill, and I think is important, is Jill and I were aligned on what the ideal customer profile was. Her customer that she wanted to sell to would also be a good fit for my agency. And I think that's super important. Otherwise, we're not aligned on a win-win. The second thing was what our roles were in that meeting, what Jill would talk to and position and what I would do. And Jill, you remember there was a couple meetings where I would show up and people would be like, by the way, who's this guy? And they didn't actually know that she brought a services partner to the meeting, and we wouldn't disclose that necessarily ahead of time. And we would go through that. But she was my go-to-market partner. All our initial customers either came from people that were in my network of CMOs, Jill and I had done a user group together. So there was a lot of people in the user group that became customers. And then as Jill was out prospecting and working, she would just bring me and do these ride-alongs, and we would take down, you know, some of the biggest, baddest clients out there, including Salesforce, which was a deal that we won together. And I think one of our greatest accomplishments.
Love it. I love it. There's a lot in there, Jill, and I'm sure you want to piggyback off some of the stuff that David said. But yeah, we want to definitely get to the meat of the conversation, which is, what did you do? What was the playbook? What do you think made it successful? And the one thing that I just will add to your a couple things that you mentioned for the listeners, one of the important things I think we should all know is when you're gearing up for an exit, or when you want to have an exit as an agency, as a service provider, if you do not have that power partner that has grown with you and has a long life ahead of it, it makes the exit conversation less valuable for your buyers. It just makes you less valuable. When you do have, we've been riding this wave that Eloqua is, and Eloqua's clearly poised for an exit. The service provider partners of Eloqua are all very attractive for anyone buying agencies. That's just something that I think we should all pay attention to from what you said. But let's talk about Jill. When you met David, you guys got into this conversation of David's going to do this. We're going to start this agency. Where was your head at? What were you doing at that time? And how did you enable David to go into these new sales conversations as a new agency, as your partner? What was your role in that from your perspective?
Yeah. So, I mean, it really, the reason why Dave was compelling to me was for my customers, right? Like, full stop. That's it. If he couldn't bring value to my customers, then I wouldn't bring Dave into deals, period. So it was really like understanding the needs of the customer and the market, and knowing the capabilities that Dave could bring, not only capabilities, but credibility. And so I would include Dave as early as possible in the pre-sale. One of the things as a rep that I did that I don't think enough salespeople do, I focused less on the product, the features, functions, and more on the journey, right? The customer journey of what life would look like after they sign the contract. Because we all know software doesn't actually do anything if you don't actually have the right skill and expertise to like design it to do something. And so, I'm a huge, huge advocate of services for any software that you're deploying. And in particular, now when the software that you're deploying has to integrate with other pieces of software, and not just like, if we want to use HubSpot as the example, the software, like if you're deploying HubSpot, yes, they have six hubs. Few companies today are actually deploying all six hubs of HubSpot, but they also have 1,500 app partners. And so what is the entirety of what the customer would need? And so I would think about that through the lens of also, like, at HubSpot, if you want to be interesting to HubSpot, what problem are you solving that they don't have partners that are solving today? Right. So if they're moving and they're trying to sell more of their ops hub, then are you their best go-to, you know, ops partner? And how do you know how that fits into the context of their entire platform? But in terms of like Dave, and it evolved over time, right? Our relationship evolved over time because Eloqua wasn't a standalone product. It became the power platform. And so what Dave and his business did too is, Dave, you built partnerships with other software companies that Eloqua customers would use. And then also, like, Dave wasn't the only partner as Eloqua grew. And we had partners that specialized in different areas. And so for me as a rep, 10 years at the company, right, the things that I would do, I would look at like our NPS surveys. And I would read the ones, I'd read all of them, but I'd read with a lens on which partners have helped these customers be successful. And if we have customers who are struggling, which partners could help them be successful, right? And so you start to do like this matching of, we have potential customers who have like Microsoft CRM. Ugh, it gives me like back then, Sorry, I have no idea what it looks like today, but we had partners who, or a partner who had developed expertise in that area. So if Dave wasn't the guy who was integrating with Microsoft CRM, I wasn't going to bring Dave in on the deal. I had to bring the right partner for this particular customer need. And you start to really like, know thy customer, know thy partners, right? Be the matchmaker of, you know, which customers, which potential customers need which partners. And oftentimes nowadays it's more than one partner because of the complexity of solutions that companies are buying. So I just want to make sure that we hit on like the journey. The beginning, I think Dave did a really good job describing, like, my customers needed Dave's services. And my company, Eloqua, wasn't the only place I would go to, you know, procure services for my customers. Dave was like in California. When I was covering California, I think it's important that local presence exists. I wanted Dave to be able to come in the room pre-sale. I wanted him to come in the room post-sale and so forth. So, Dave and I were partners. We would share intel on the accounts. Dave then developed a book of business. And so then he could tell more customer stories. I think we spend not enough time. We have customers, right? People hopefully got paying customers. Really understand that customer story, right? Like, why are they happy with you? Why would they hire you again? Why would they refer you to other people? And as a rep, I can only know so many customer stories. My partners who work with hands-on, have done the deployment, work with them ongoing, like they know more customer stories because they work closely with more customers. And so I literally don't understand why there are salespeople out there who don't get this. If you're a salesperson and you're not taking time to understand the partner ecosystem and even potentially identifying new partners for your company and bringing them into the mix, then you suck as a salesperson. I cannot say it more strongly.
I love it. I love it. What we can take from this next part of the conversation is, okay, well, how did David influence the Jills of the world back then to bring him into potential sales cycles and vice versa? So I do want to know, like, okay, David, you were breaking off onto this agency path and you had Jill, you had Eloqua, you had opportunity, which is getting deeper into the Eloqua ecosystem, helping their customers, charging them pretty decent price tag, I'm sure. Mid-market enterprise customers, selling into sales teams, probably marketing teams as well, or maybe marketing first and then sales second. I don't know. But what was your go-to-market? What did you do back then that you think really lent to the success of demand gen early on? What are some of the things you did?
Maybe we'll break it into two chapters, if you will. We'll focus on the go-to-market stuff, like what actually Jill and I did together from a marketing perspective. But then let's take a step back and talk about the actual playbook and the relationship that Jill had, because I don't want to gloss over what I think is how challenging finding such a great partnership that we had. Jill mentioned earlier, for example, that after Eloqua, we started partnering with lots of other MarTech companies. And now at this point, I've got hundreds of clients over the years, and more MarTech companies want to partner with us because they saw demand gen as a channel to get to those customers. And I got to tell you, most of their approaches fell flat, and I didn't want to partner with their sales team to go to market together because it wasn't win-win. So in terms of what really worked for Jill and I, and for anyone listening to like how you select a partner, let's first start off with the individual. I mean, the company, you got to pick the right tech partners. I think that's out of scope for today. But in terms of as an individual, what made Jill so unique and what made our partnership unique? So Jill was the number one seller at Eloqua. I didn't have to think very hard in terms of who to hitch my car to. Now, that said, some people may find that they're not going to get attention from that person because they're new on the block. I was very fortunate that Jill needed me at the time and I needed Jill. But there was trust and there was respect and there was accountability. Very soon, I was no longer the only agency. And the only thing that I ever asked Jill, and we explicitly talked about this, is if you feel you need to bring in another partner or I'm not the right fit, or you get a reaction from the prospect that they don't want to work, let me know that. Don't be, you know, opaque about that, because that erodes trust. So we were really good about when we would go out and identify these prospects, whether those was the right fit for myself and for her. Because there were times Jill was maybe pitching the product platform and I'd be like, I don't think you're going to win this one because they're just not sophisticated enough. Now, Jill knew and how to qualify, as she said early, very well. But there were times when, you know, we were just not going after the right fit. So there was trust, there was respect, and there's accountability. That's table stakes for any relationship, but it has to be there. And the next thing was, you have to know each other's value proposition. There were literally times that the prospect who she was pitching would say, so I'm a little confused. You guys offer professional services, meaning Eloqua, but he's here and you're saying he can do the implementation as well. Why should we choose one or the other? We knew that question would come about and there was always the right answer for that. Now, there were times when I had to say to Jill, I think I need to step away from this one. You guys handle it. And again, we were transparent about that. There were times when, I mean, Jill knew our pricing model. We had worked on it together. So she could confidently say, guys, for $18,000, this is a steal. The time to value is going to be so rapid through demand gen. It's not that our professional services team can't help you, but these guys know how to do marketing with the platform because that's what they help all their other clients do. So they're going to get you implemented very quickly because they're then able to work hands on keyboard with you to do some of the more sophisticated things that our services team won't. So she had a pat answer for that. We were able to do objection handling together. If someone says, as new products came about, Jill would leave the room, maybe go grab a cup of coffee, hit the restroom or something. So are you familiar with Marketo? They'd whisper to me. I'm like, yeah. And they said, so, you know, we're looking at both platforms, which was great intel. So on the ride home, I would share with Jill, they are looking at Marketo. They're looking at the platform, and a partner can bring in other dimensions to the sales cycle that the rep doesn't have and vice versa. And I could say to them, we have clients who have actually both Eloqua and Marketo. Jill and I could talk about when we grabbed another platform. But the point I want to make there is that it's really helpful sometimes when a partner has, you know, a two-footed soccer player, has multiple platforms they're familiar with. And I could confidently say to them, I know you're looking at that. I can save you some time. Being that you're an enterprise class customer, Salesforce was a great example. I was able to show their head of marketing operations how long it would take to create a data filter at the time on Marketo versus Eloqua. And I think that was the end of that deal cycle for Marketo. So the partner could really showcase that. So transparency, alignment, accountability, objection handling, you know, we learned how to joint sell together. And that's, you know, our win rate was over 80% together. And when it wasn't, it was because it either wasn't a fit demand gen, maybe it was in the sports industry and a different partner was more relevant, or maybe it wasn't the right customer for Eloqua. And you know, Jill, I'm always proud of what we accomplished together. And we didn't really talk these things through, Alex, but I think just who Jill is and maybe who I am, we just showed up win-win every single day and figured out how to get really, really good together. And so my message would be is like, go either find, if you're fortunate enough, the top sales rep at your partners, or at least find the ones that are very good at what they do. By the way, sometimes the best sales reps actually want to work with internal resources, and you just have to talk to them and find out if that's their playbook. Don't waste your time because they're not going to work with a partner.
Also, it isn't even just aligning with like salespeople, it's CS, right? So customer success and account management who really is responsible for, let's say, upselling the account. So, you know, there's a lot of companies that have customers that aren't getting the value. And, you know, you can't just, you know, think about like new logo all the time. And so, you know, think about companies who have customers who might not even know that the like HubSpot, as the example again, that HubSpot has six hubs. right? And that they could actually really value getting value from additional hubs. And so how does that agency help that customer? And that a lot of times will come from the CSM. And so let's not just like think about like new, although companies like HubSpot want agencies who source deals, but how you can add, you know, incremental value and sell more hubs to more of their customers. One of the things I think Dave and I did well is understand how the market was shifting, right? And when Marketo came into the mix, it wasn't until they signed their first services partner that I was like, wow, they have an easier product to use. It's cheaper and it's faster to implement. You know, what non-tech savvy marketer wouldn't want that? But what they didn't have is the truth serum to marketers in terms of how hard the actual new way to market, which is, you know, not generate a bunch of leads at the top, and not batch and blast. What they hadn't been, telling the market was that transformation required services, agency, et cetera. And so when they signed LeadMD as their first services partner, I'm like, oh, okay, now they're like hopefully gonna like it help their customers actually be successful, which then was like, oh, okay, well, now it's a different kind of competitor for Eloqua. So the market shifts, and then Dave, like he said, was able to help me in the right accounts compare the two products. And then ultimately, hey, Dave, the Marketo story, if you're drowning in a pit of or shit, it's time to Eloquit. When I was at Marketo, I went to Dave and I went with the campaign idea of, you know, Eloqua isn't the Eloqua that you and I, you know, helped build. And at that point, Oracle had owned Eloqua for 14, 15, 16, 17, for 4 years. And a lot of Eloqua customers were drowning in a pit of or shit, and it was time to Eloquit. And who better to help them than Dave, who was an Eloqua partner, was a Marketo partner, and had the success story of migrating Eloqua customers to Marketo. Dave was the perfect partner for me to come back to in 2018 and say, let's do this together. Long-term relationship.
I want to make sure we tell these the short part. When I talk about accountability and respect and trust, there was a day, it was at the Alamo Starbucks in California. I was eating a spinach feta wrap and a grande iced shaken espresso. And I can remember it because it was like a scene of a movie where I told Jill that it was time for our business to expand beyond Eloqua and partner with Marketo. And Jill started crying almost like I told her I was having an affair with another partner. And it was really difficult for Jill to hear because, first of all, this is someone who at the time, you know, bled red. She had built Eloqua's business, number one sales rep, Eloqueen, and now her most trusted partner and really someone as a friend is saying, I'm going to the dark side. And I said, I have to do it for the business. Eloqua's not growing fast enough anymore that if I want to build a business, and I said, there's also customers that are, you know, marketers move. So they're moving to other companies and they're saying, Dave, can we take you with us? If I was, no, we can't do Marketo. We can only help you if you go to a company and run marketing and use Eloqua. I just wasn't going to limit the growth of the business. And thank God we did that because we now know what has happened to Eloqua. I didn't have that foresight to know that the market was going to shrink like it has after Oracle, but I had to expand the business. Later on, Jill became an evangelist and promoter of Marketo. And you know, there's just a lot to the story. But the point I want to make is have the integrity, have the trust, have the respect. I did tell Jill, and I felt that it will be actually advantageous to you for me to have the expertise on both platforms. We'll win more deals together, win right deals together, provided that we stay in the right market for Eloqua. And we did. And I don't know if we ever lost a deal. If we did, they were few and far between, but it wasn't a surprise. And I would say to an entrepreneur or agency partner, you know, expand into more than one technology if that's the right thing to do for your customer. And that's what GL always understood and appreciated is David is doing this because this is what the customer needs. There are people going to need a different technology for certain scenarios. And he wants to continue to grow in his business. We won Eloqua Partner of the Year. We won back-to-back Marketo Partner of the Year. So, you know, it is important. And the thing that I wanted to make sure that we get to is, you know, Jill and I didn't just do joint sales calls together. We went to market together. We created content together. We put on events together. We hosted dinners together. We hosted breakfasts, every industry conference. Jill and I were always doing something with prospects and customers and bringing them together. The awards that we helped our clients win, at one point, about 65% of our clients were winning the prestigious Eloqua Markey Award and the Serious Decisions Award. And so by helping our clients win so many awards, Jill was able to point to, these are some of the customers that are having the best success with Eloqua. Well, why? They're working with DemandGen, with Dave's firm. So we did workshops, we did user group meetings, and we were true partners in a sense that we put together a go-to-market plan and executed against that, even our marketing teams working to support Jill and I.
Twice. Did it twice. You did it more than twice, I would assume, right? Let's okay. So follow that up, Jill, keep your thought in mind, but I want to get into the cannibalization of service revenue internally at these SaaS companies and the dynamics of you being in a sales role. A lot of sales people are also incentivized by selling the service package with the SaaS. I am obviously against it. You guys are, I think, against that. It's the antithesis of partnerships, trying to have your own service arm inside of the software company. But say what you were going to say, but then I want your opinion on just sales, service, and partnerships and cannibalization that happens that you've witnessed, all that kind of stuff.
I'll tee this up for Jill. They got closer to doing their IPO, and I was very close with Joe Payne, the CEO, who I still talk to this day, they developed a thing called the Smart Start. They had a branded implementation package, which Jill was incented to sell and bring in the service department. And, you know, for anyone who knows Jill Rowley, Jill's going to do what's best for, you know, the partner that she represents, the company she represents. But she's also going to break the rules if the rules should be broken. And so, Jill, I'm just teeing that up for you because I remember telling Jill, these smart starts that you want us to implement for $6,500, that's a hard no. I'm not going to take bad business. If you want to implement those smart starts, that's with your own pro services. He goes, well, you know, that's going to cost you business because Jill and Gary and Benny and Susan, they're all incented and need to sell these smart starts because we need to generate every dollar of revenue we can to go public. And I got to tell you, anybody who builds a services business on implementations, do not do that. That should be a portion of your revenue, but the majority of your revenue should come through the journey that the clients go on with the use and adoption of the technology, or you face that risk that you're in direct competition with your partner. But Jill, I don't know how you want to discuss how you towed the corporate line, but you also knew that you would not get in trouble for closing large deals, even if a partner was involved and you didn't sell that smart start.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was trust earned over time, you know, at Eloqua. And you're right. I broke a lot of rules, but always in service of the customer, and having just been so close to the customer for so long. I think one of the things that we did require at Eloqua at the time is that at least one all access seat of training was sold with every deal. And that was our training and in the Eloqua Academy. And I totally had no problem with that. Even if we had a service partner like DemandGen do the deployment, it was important that we sold at least one seat of all access training to the customer. Totally believed in that. It comes down to, you know, really with the sales leader, the services leader, comp plan drives behavior. And at the end of the day, like, I was rewarded for customer success. And I just had to know who was going to make my customer the most successful, the fastest time to value, and who was going to help my customers win more of the industry awards, who was going to help my customers get promoted within their organizations, who was going to help my customers land new opportunities at new companies. You know, that was what was my guiding principle for you know, how I worked. I know we're running up on time, but I do think it's interesting. Like, Dave became a more important partner as he did partner with other tech companies in the Marketo ecosystem, because, and this is so important today, I cannot stress how important this is for agencies today. People are buying multiple pieces of technology. That tech has to work better together. That tech has to be integrated from a data, from a process, workflow, automation, and insights perspective. And so if you are a partner, if you are a tech partner, you better have a lot more than just one piece of software in your warehouse. You, and maybe you are too small that you have all of that, but then you better partner. Partnering, that is the way the future is going. And so even as a services and agency partner, you better know other service agency partners who fill the gaps that you have, right? Who have the things around the edges that you don't deliver. And so I cannot stress enough, partners partnering with each other is so important today.
We took down BEA together, if you remember, Jill, and we didn't do creative. I was unapologetic that demand gen never did creative for clients. We were strictly a technology services strategy and implementation partner. But I would partner, to Jill's point, with Bumblebee Marketing to take down, actually it was Cisco, who I think BEA bought them. I don't know. But anyway, when I had a gap, I had a go-to partner for creative, or I had a go-to partner for data services, or I had a go-to partner for whatever was that gap. And Jill and I transparently talked about these gaps so that we could continue to win. And I really reinforced Jill's point. Now, I'm not saying go start an agency or have an agency that tries to be all things to all people. You've got to have your expertise and niche, which you're really, really known for. For us, it was marketing automation in the beginning, but it became MarTech, and then it became marketing operations. And I always made sure from a thought leadership perspective that I was looking out and knowing kind of where the puck was going to go, say, okay, we need to expand our services into this area because the customer is going to be looking for how to do predictive, or how to do ABM, or how to do sending technology, you know, gifting and that type of stuff. So what are the leading technologies? Don't partner with everybody, but partner with the top brands. And if you do, make sure that you establish some rules of engagement with those partners of how you go to market. Because like I said, most of them wanted to partner with us at a certain point, Alex, because they wanted to sell their tech to our customers, as opposed to I'm looking for tech companies to help them help their prospects with the implementation and ongoing services. So you just got to make sure you understand what you're looking for. And, you know, the really small companies who have no channel and not a lot of good marketing going on, they try to lean really heavy on the partners and think that the partners are going to just bring them into all these accounts. And that's not always the case, that we're just going to, you know, find the next shiny new object and bring it into our customer base, because we're going to be held accountable for the success of it.
I was on mute, sorry. And I know we're up on time. I don't have a hard stop if we want to spend a couple minutes concluding this. David, sure. Up to you. Jill, do you have two minutes? Yeah.
Let's bring it home in the next 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's so much here. I love the situation that salespeople are often found in, and how, you know, you overcame that at Eloqua, and what you brought into Marketo and your future, the role you have today, where a CEO maybe looking at service revenue, but your experience and history shows us that if you do sell an internal service package, what you're selling is just a quicker supportive implementation. You cannot sell a success package, because you and your team do not know the funnel. They do not know the other tools involved. They do not know the situation. They do not think long-term. The solutions providers do. So if you are really trying to add retention and stickiness, and actually trying to give your client, your users a better implementation, get solutions partners in there as quick as possible, right? That's, I think we all agree there, of course. So anything on that? And then I do want to just give them the final pieces of advice around choosing a solution partner, even if it's a one-person shop. David was at one point a one-person shop, and you were still looking at him like, I'm going to bring David into
I mean, I was a one person shop for, I think, 60 days and then started hiring. And we eventually built the practice to over 80 people. So I always knew I would scale. But to Jill, I was a one man band because I was out on the road with her all the time. It wasn't that she was bringing other people from demand gen into her joint sales cycles.
But that's still looking at a small business. A lot of partner managers, they'll say, no, I'm not going to work with David until he gets to 20 people or 50 people. He's not valuable enough for me until he gets there. And I think that's a big mistake. A lot of partner managers and partner teams, they don't see a lot of value in the under 20 person shops, which I think is crazy. I think they should be working with more smaller agencies closer. That's just my opinion.
And,
but your opinion.
And Jill and I had a process. Like, it was always important for her to close her deal and get her SOW or get her license signed before we signed our paperwork. And that was just the playbook.
I think we would sometimes do it together. Because
I mean, it could go down at the same time. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I wanted mine first, but
your SOW.
Well, I wanted yours first. I wanted them to make sure that they were committed to the technology so that I'm not wasting my time going through someone who, you know, you don't win every deal, but I can't win a deal that Jill didn't win.
Yeah. And we would win together. I mean, I just want to make sure it's very clear that we did a lot of pre-sale. You were involved pre-sale. And you also had a qualify out. We talked about that earlier in the podcast. Like, hey, Jill, this one isn't going to be for me. And you know what, Jill, this one might not even be for you, Eloqua. And so, you know, we worked together on that. We helped each other keep each other honest, right? Not to do the happier thing.
Yeah.
That's super important. I wish we would have talked about that earlier on, but it's not bringing David into the deal. It's you've been with David during the pre-sale, and now here comes David's service SOW that we talked about during the pre-sale.
Yeah.
It's just one lump package. It's everything. And the customer isn't blindsided by, oh, by the way, now you got to meet David and he's going to try to sell you on a huge package. And they're just like, what?
He helped me win the deal because he was the buyer, meaning like he had done the thing that my buyers wanted to do. He was the SVP of marketing at Ellie Mae that deployed Eloqua and built the recipes for nurture and score and routing and all of that. He had done the thing that my buyer, my potential buyer had was trying to do. And so Dave, instant credibility, instant experience. Dave came in early. Like Dave was my engineer, right? My sales engineer. Dave was, you know, my demo guy. Dave was, and he was well beyond like the tech. Again, he could tell the story of the marketer and the journey. So Dave was in as early as I could get him in where he would want to invest his time. And yes, when we went to sign, like I would, the customer would buy my subscription, right? They'd sign my subscription agreement and they'd sign Dave's, you know, ProServe. Now it might not have been on the same day, but it that was important.
We were never surprised, though, that she was going to get the license signed and that they would be signing mine. It wasn't like it was potentially going to be with another partner. At that stage, we knew. But I did have to kiss, you know, a few frogs to find these wins. And that's a commitment you have to make as a partner. It wasn't like, you know, hey, Jill, give me a full readout on who this prospect is before I decide to go with you. There was lots of times when I would just go there and I'd walk out. Maybe I didn't like the person and want to work with their marketing team or maybe I didn't believe in the company in terms of what their product or service was, because a lot of early high-tech companies would use the platform. I would just tell Jill, hey, I'm going to gracefully bow out of doing the services, but let me know if you still need me to stay attached to help you win the deal. So I always was committed to Jill because I knew that this is my business partner. And so that if I help her, you know, win, whether it was always a win for demand gen, the ROI from that level of effort would pay off. And then the big deals would happen and the right fits would come. And that, you know, you've got to build an agency where you can, as an entrepreneur, allocate that much time if that's your strategy. I mean, I think since COVID, we're doing so much virtual stuff, but Jill and I did the majority of our stuff face-to-face, doing ride-alongs together and selling that way. So it can be done even doing that way. You just got to make sure you got an agency of other resources to operate the business if you're going to play a BD role, which I did for many years together.
One of the things that I know we wanted to touch on this for, especially for the partner people on the call, was, look, as a partner leader, you need to know the numbers. You need to know the win rate of deals where partners are involved. You need to know the time to value. And we had dashboards of how many days did it take for the customer's deployment to be complete? And we would look at that based on our internal ProServe and by partner, right? So we would know, you know, at Eloqua Marketo, like when the partner was onboarded, we'd measure that by partner. We looked at, you know, NPS. So we surveyed our customers' NPS. We would look at NPS by partner, right? Are our happier customers working with specific partners? We looked at customer advocacy, who are the ones winning awards? And we would look at that by partner. So it's really important for partner people to know the revenue numbers, to know the numbers that the business cares about, and to be able to move those numbers, right? Move the number to improve the win rate when working with partners, to improve, accelerate the deal, the velocity of the deal. You have to be able to prove that, and you need to thread yourself into really the revenue conversation. So I just want to make it very clear that there's a lot of feel good in what Dave and I did. There's a lot of science too, but there has to be accountability, right? And I think it's so important that there are the salespeople who are willing to say, look, I win more, I win faster, my customers are happier when I work with these partners. That has to happen. And then partners need to be at sales kickoff or revenue kickoff. Partners need to be treated as an extension or part of the team. Partners need to be, like, you need a partner advisory board as you grow but there's so many other things that we really haven't had a chance to cover, but I know we're out of time. So I hope this has been helpful.
Yeah, I'd say just to wrap up that point, and maybe David, you can lend to this, is what maybe are some of the things you saw specifically on those deals. I mean, Jill was comparing it against all the rest of the deals that are going on in the organization, David's partner deals versus, you know, non-partner influence deals. But anything else that she didn't mention that you saw and just would advise CEOs of these tech companies just to kind of look at?
And I think, you know, Joe Payne, who was the CEO of Eloqua back in the day and later Alex, they were pushing hard to do their internal services, these smart starts and these other packages. Oh. And I think, which Jill and I didn't know at the time, that this is what the result would happen. But this is the important point, Alex, that when the data came in, Jill was able to demonstrate and stand up for, not only was her win rates much higher, but the deal cycle was much shorter when a partner was involved. The insights that I could give Jill on, you know, I've talked to, let's say, John Doe. Hey, John, how's the license going with Jill? When do you think you're going to sign that? You know, it's December 5th. You're going to get that done before the end of the year. They would tell me. What do you think of the pricing? The pricing looks like $120,000 a year. My budget's 95. So between like their license and your implementation, I'm slightly over budget. Is that going to be a problem for you? No, it's just more. So I got to go get this done. I could give all that insight to Jill on what was happening from a cost perspective and vice versa. If I submitted a proposal for services and Jill found out that there was any kind of sticker shocker issue, she could set my expectations so that if they challenged the pricing, I knew whether I should or shouldn't negotiate. So the deal cycles were shorter. The deal sizes were actually larger. You know, Jill's track record probably speaks for itself, but those who don't know her, again, top performing salesperson year after year there. So shorter sales cycles, bigger deals, but most importantly, more successful customers. I mean, I know it doesn't sound too humble when I say that our joint customers were the most successful marketers in the industry. When I put my note of retirement from BDO, the company I sold my company to, the number of posts in there in the comments about the impact that we had on the industry, the impact that we had on their careers, that's really what the value proposition was, is that we weren't just delivering services. We were giving a recipe, an implementation set for this customer. We're a very good insurance policy. Like if you buy this very powerful piece of technology, we're the insurance plan that's going to ensure that they are successful with it. So Eloqua won, the customer won, and we certainly won. And I just always appreciated Jill telling me that if it wasn't the right fit for each other, we were open about that. And you got to have trust in every partnership was based off that.
I love that soundbite right there. You're the insurance policy for those, especially bigger ticket software that's stressful. And, you know, last thing you want is a bad implementation that you'll have to rip out in a year. So you were that insurance policy. As long as you guys are in that and doing a great job and continuing learning and developing and know the full tech stack and know the full funnel, that build is going to be exactly what it needs to be for the customers.
Yeah.
So Jill, you want to take us home and give us a last final tips for anyone listening and anything you want to say about Nearbound, I guess, you know, give us
sure. A yeah. I mean, just to bring us home, clearly I have 23 years of experience in working with partners and building SaaS companies and actually building categories, evangelizing change and transformation that is going to happen. And the sooner you get on the bus, the more success you're going to have, right? Those who go early experience disproportionate gains, and those who wait. So look, I am evangelizing Nearbound as a category. And it's literally like, if outbound is target and interrupt, and inbound is pull and attract, Nearbound is a surround strategy. Right. And so it's literally like, who is the customer, who surrounds the customer today, who is nearest to the customer, and how do you get nearer to them? It is a surround strategy that can be weaved into both outbound and inbound, leveraging partners and people who your buyers already trust, your customers already trust. And I'm also advising Reveal, B2B SaaS company, on how to go win the market, right? How to be the foundational partner tech software in the tech stack. And that allows you to do partner account matching. And so you can see with your partners where you share customers. So who are your mutual customers? What is the joint value proposition? And then you can see your partners' customers who are in your pipeline, who are your customers and in your partner's pipeline. And it really is the foundation of your partner tech stack that helps you then earn the attention of sales and also marketing and CS, because you're bringing data and partner people haven't historically been able to bring the data to the conversation. So that's where I'm at.
I'm jealous of the tools that we have these days that we didn't have back then in terms of doing account mapping and that type of stuff. I can't imagine what we would have done even more together had we had all that.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to know. I mean, this evolution of where you guys are at now and the fact that, well, minus David, now you're semi-retired doing totally different stuff right now,
but
you're still involved in tech. You still do podcasts. You still obviously.
Believe me, I've tried to get Dave to come back and like help build this whole partner tech, partner go-to-market motion, partner ecosystem, Nearbound, category and movement, because he's so well positioned having done it in marketing, but he has said no, and I totally respect that. But Dave would be like the guy to come in and do this with us.
My entrepreneurial journey has been people saying really smart stuff at a certain time. My wife said when I was going to play video games with her brother that night, I wish there was a way for you to talk over the internet instead of tying up the phone because I need to call my mom. I'm like, that's a big hairy problem. I'm going to solve that. And that was the comment that led to me starting this company Resounding and building the very first way to talk over the internet. It was Tony Robbins who said, you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur and you have a recipe of what could help someone and they would value it, write that down on a piece of paper, maybe start a business doing it. And I did that. What I forced myself to do since I retired from BDO on November 1st is listen for that conversation. And if it comes up, then maybe there's something for me to be doing. Right now, I am deep down the rabbit hole of AI because I think that my core competency in getting people excited about very powerful technology is AI. And whether it's helping people for personal use or business use, this I've never seen a technology gain such traction and such so rapidly outside of the internet. And I'm really watching Alex and Jill to see opportunity where helping people use and adopt AI for good is something that I'm at least passionate about today. We'll see where my journey goes next.
Yeah. And maybe if you have any live links for the books that you're doing or what you're creating, share those with me and we can get them put in the notes. David's got a AI supported children's book coming out.
Yeah, it'll be out for Mother's Day. Giving it to my daughter when her daughter turns about almost a year and a half. The reason, so I've always wanted to create a storybook for my grandchild because it was a story that I told my girls. And again, my way to find the problems that exist within the world and help solve them, when I wanted to write a children's storybook, I'm not an illustrator. I'm a good storyteller, but I'm not an illustrator. I had the story because I'd verbally tell it to my kids. I'm like, maybe I could use AI. And that has taken me down this place to where I've developed an application for building storybooks. And I'm using my own application to build the storybook. So I'm coding and testing and that type of stuff. And it is just incredible what I have learned from AI. Used it yesterday to create a Christmas holiday card database based on a PDF document that had labels on it, learning what works and what doesn't work there. So I'm just, like I said, very deep down the rabbit hole of that, as well as mixed reality. Apple's introducing their Vision Pro in the beginning of the year. And so that's going to present entirely different engagement experiences for people. So more to come, but that's what I'm up to these days, as well as helping and advising entrepreneurs and CMOs on their journeys.
Thank you
for having me to do it today.
The industry is appreciative, and the world of tech is very appreciative for having you, David. You've been huge influence on so many people. It's been huge. Same with you, Jill. You blend into sales as well, but tech obviously is the main place. And you guys can be found on LinkedIn. I'll put the links in the notes here. So scroll down if you're on the podcast page and connect with these two on LinkedIn. And hopefully you find David's book. If you have a child or a relative or just a friend, get his book and check it out. That's that. Thank you guys for joining the show.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
All the best.
Take care, guys.